Hey everyone, if you have listened to any of my presentations, you've probably heard me talk about the emotional roller coaster, but I wanted to explain it again. I think it's helpful to have a reference point to go back to because I see it often with our patients, and it's a tricky thing I think to coach families through and how to navigate as well too. But this example might help them rethink how they respond to dysregulation and those behaviors that pop up so they can do it in a way that prevents this emotional roller coaster. So the emotional roller coaster, the way I describe it is, you know, basically you have a child who's becoming dysregulated, right? So you imagine you're going up the hill of a roller coaster. They're becoming more worked up, more overwhelmed, more dysregulated. We're starting to see some behaviors. And at the peak of that hill of that roller coaster, they are on the verge of breakdown. The cup is overflowing. They are going to have a major meltdown. They melt down. And then eventually they calm down. So they start coming down the other end of that hill, right? We never stay in that heightened state. We eventually come back down. Once they start to regain regulation and that frontal lobe starts turning back on, now I have this ability to reflect and be a cognitive, logical thinker again. I start to go, oh no, I hit Susie. I took her toy. I did this. I did that. They go back into all the, what, look at what I did, and start shaming and blaming themselves. Because our kids from a really, really young age, they know the rules cognitively. It's a huge difference between knowing the rule and being able to follow it across all states of emotions and all situations and with all people, right? So they are going, oh no, I did this really bad thing. Now I feel shame and guilt. And the fact is that even us as adults have a hard time handling shame and guilt. We kind of avoid that feeling. It feels pretty yucky. It's a complicated and difficult emotion for our kids then too. So they start to feel shame and guilt. And for some of our kids, that revs them right back up. They start to become dysregulated again. Now I can't talk about what I did. I can't receive any help, any calming strategies, because all of that is reminding me that I screwed up. You are telling me I am out of control. So those fun sensory strategies aren't going to work. I'm becoming dysregulated again because of the shame and guilt that I feel from my initial dysregulation. And they go right back up to the top of that roller coaster again. And then the coming back down happens again. What happens then, I think, like as well, I see a lot of our parents do, is they try to use logic and instill empathy in the kids when they're in this dysregulation, right? You got really upset and then you took that girl's toy. I don't think she liked that. How do you think that made her feel? And they kind of feed into that shame and guilt thing instead of assuming that your child already knows and they probably already thought about how that person felt, oftentimes, perhaps not always. And that by just making that conversation happen and really isolating that shame and guilt, you may be contributing to further dysregulation and a shutdown. Nobody wants to be made feel bad about something that they screwed up on. You don't want your nose rubbed into your mistake, right? This is true for all of us. So this might be a helpful way to help families think about what they really need in that moment is some empathy themselves. That's how they also build empathy, is by receiving it of, wow, like I know that's really frustrating sometimes when you have to wait your turn. I know that was really tricky today, but I'm so proud of you for working so hard to calm back down. That takes a lot of work. Rather than focusing on whatever happened to lead to the dysregulation and the mistakes that they made when they were upset. Because like I said, nobody wants to have their nose rubbed in mistakes that they made, especially mistakes that they made when they were not their best selves, right? That is embarrassment and shame, and our kids struggle with that. So the emotional roller coaster concept can be helpful to explain to families why maybe using punishments or shame or logic or language and trying to debrief too soon, why some of those things can be really triggering for our kids and lead to more dysregulation. Now, that second bump of dysregulation might not be a huge meltdown. It might be shutdown. It might be disconnect. It might be avoidance. It might be silliness, because they do not want to talk about it. No one wants to go back and rehash the worst moments of their life and the worst days of their life. But if there's valuable information to be had, to be shared, sometimes just a sharing without an interaction of just a, hey, I noticed this happened, and next time, like, I'm happy to help you. something like that might be helpful, but obviously it very much depends on the child and what they can tolerate.